Bats are squeaking so loudly outside my house right now that I've had to close my windows outside my studio. I get a lot of bats around my neighborhood. In fact, I even put a bat house over my garage. So far, no takers, at least as far as I know. But it was about 70 degrees today. So I guess the bugs must be coming back because the bats sound busy, if not happy, out there flying around. I think that's a good description for tonight's show, too. We'll be busy, if not happy. Hard to be too happy when you're talking about life inside a cult like these fundamentalist polygamous compounds, where we are just beginning to understand the depth of the dysfunction, if not the depravity. And we will understand better after tonight. Irene Spencer, fifth generation polygamist, who was the second of 10 wives and the mother of 14 of her husband's 58 children, joins us next hour to explain it all and take your call. I think I like that. Let me keep using that. Coast to Coast AM with Ian Punnett. Explain it all and take your call. Anyway, a face for radio and a voice for print should be a good show tonight. Open lines first hour after crypto news. Horny ghosts in crypto news. Shrinking food supplies? Question mark. And where have all the flowers gone? Or better phrased, can we find them all if we're wearing blindfolds? Did you see this story? I'll explain it all and take your call. Coming up next on Coast to Coast AM, Sunday Night Edition. I'm Ian Punnett. Yeah, if you just want to start beating on those phones right now, you can. We'll get to them coming up open lines even before the bottom of the hour. We'll start right away and we'll take it through till next hour when we'll be joined by Irene Spencer, one of the women who has a unique insight into the fundamentalist polygamist cults of America. She wasn't in the same compound as the one that's been in question in the news, but she's been under very similar circumstances, and she might surprise you with some of her thoughts on that whole system. And it is a system. We'll get into that coming up next hour on Coast to Coast AM. In an especially violent weekend in Chicago, I imagine this has been making headlines everywhere, but still amazing now. No fewer than 32 people have been shot in Chicago. I guess the clock striking midnight in Chicago means that they can finally put a cap on this awful weekend. Six fatally, two people stabbed, too, since noon Friday. The shooting victims range in age from 12 to 65. On Friday night alone, 15 people were shot, four fatally, just between noon Friday and midnight Saturday. That's amazing for a town that had been reporting a drop in violent activity. If you've been following the news, you know it's been a week of unidentified skeletons popping up everywhere, too. Here's another backyard turned crime scene. Port Orange, Florida. Authorities say a group of children playing ball on a beach discovered an adult human skeleton in the backyard of a home near Port Orange. Sheriff's office said yesterday it's being investigated as a suspicious death. The person had been dead for a few months. It's not clear whether the remains belong to a man or a woman. Is all hell breaking loose? Did you see the story on FARC? At 4 o'clock in the afternoon, April 10th, two women went into their nearby police station claiming that over the past 2 years, a paranormal person had been placing sensors on their bodies and visiting them in their house. The two women said that the ghost had been having sex with them. After 2 years, they decided to report it. So, right on that, just snapping right into action after 2 years, but they decided to go report that. So is that paranormal or is that a pair of kinky? If we were talking last night about survivalism, I don't know if you heard it. I understand the belief that we're doomed, but I don't feel that way personally. I do have hope in humanity and that although things are scary right now, once we decide to fix something, we can. And here's an example of that possibility. These are the words of Kevin Bullis, who writes, food prices worldwide have risen dramatically in the past few years, due in part to a similarly dramatic rise in the amount of corn used for ethanol production in the United States. Now, in an effort to make food less expensive, experts are calling for limits on ethanol production, subsidies for corn, and more incentives for biofuels made from non-food sources. Like a rancher who called last night, who said it when we were taking calls, corn for fuel is making some farmers rich, but it's costing him a fortune as a rancher in beef production. Another possible solution that comes with a difficult trade-off. And here's one more. The International Herald Tribune reports soaring food prices and global grain shortages are bringing new pressures on governments, food companies, and consumers to relax their longstanding resistance to genetically engineered crops. In Japan and South Korea, some manufacturers for the first time have begun buying genetically engineered corn for use in soft drinks, snacks, and other foods. Until now, to avoid consumer backlash, the companies have paid extra to buy conventionally grown corn. But with prices having tripled in 2 years, it has become too expensive to be so finicky. "We cannot afford it," said a corn buyer in a Japanese market. "I think it's pretty clear that price and supply concerns have people thinking a little bit differently today," said a spokesman for the U.S. Wheat Associates, who advocate for bioengineered food. Would you be willing to be a long-term lab experiment for bioengineered food if it meant lowering food costs? How hungry will you have to get before you do? Here's the story from Ghana. The UN chief warned Sunday that the world must urgently increase food production to ease skyrocketing prices and pledged to set up a task force on a crisis threatening to destabilize developing nations. The cost of food has increased by around 40% since mid-2007, and the strain is causing riots in countries like Cameroon, Haiti, and Egypt. "We must make no mistake, the problem is big. If we offer the right aid, the solutions will come," said the UN spokesman. "And one thing is certain, the world has consumed more than it has produced over the last 3 years. We need a real world and not the world of economy theory's solution. I will work on this right now with a sense of urgency." There is hope, I believe. Be prepared. It's good to be prepared. Have a backup supply. Have lots of food in your house just in case, you know, there's some major storm or disruption to the grid. But I don't know about this thought about no more civilization for years at a time. Call me your canary in the coal mine. If I stop singing, then you'll still have time to act. And speaking of the birds and the bees, pollution, I wasn't really, but I kind of worked it in. Pollution is dulling the scent of flowers and impeding some of the most basic processes of nature, disrupting insect life and imperiling food supplies, according to a new study. The potentially hugely significant research funded by the blue chip U.S. National Science Foundation has found that gases, mainly formed from emissions of car exhausts, prevent flowers from attracting bees and other insects that they need in order to pollinate them. And the scientists who have conducted the study fear that the insects' ability to repel enemies and attract mates may also be impeded. All of this because of car exhaust. The researchers at the University of Virginia say the pollution is dramatically cutting the distance traveled by the scent of flowers. Professor Jose Fuentes, who led the study, said, quote, "Scent molecules produced by flowers in a less polluted environment could travel roughly 1,000 to 1,200 meters. But today they may travel only 200 to 300. This makes it increasingly difficult for bees and other insects to locate the flowers. And speaking of the birds and bees, and this time I almost am, Virgin Galactic boss Sir Richard Branson planning to set another record by becoming the first man to marry a couple in space. According to Wire reports, the 58-year-old billionaire intends to conduct a ceremony 70 miles above the Earth on the first galactic suborbital flight next year. But I ask, where will the couple go for a honeymoon? The 70-mile high club? With Reverend Branson sitting next to them drinking a Tang mimosa? Creepy. A planned cyber attack against CNN's website fizzled out Saturday. The group backing the effort called the event off, they said. These are pro-China hackers that had called for the attack on the CNN website. in protest of the news coverage of Tibet, which they believe has been overly critical of China. My friend Mike runs that website, by the way. I should call him about this. They said, our original plan for April 19th has been canceled because too many people are aware of it and the situation is chaotic. So wrote a group that calls itself Revenge of the Flame about the Olympic torch. That, according to a translation posted on the Dark Visitor blog, at an unspecified date in the near future, we will launch the attack on the CNN website. All the hackers, all the pro-China hackers will. That is, of course, you know, if there isn't another Doctor Who marathon on cable that weekend to get it canceled. Let's go to open lines on Coast to Coast AM before we get to our guest coming up next hour. And that's Irene Spencer, the woman who came out of a polygamist, a fundamentalist polygamist cult. She'll talk about her experiences in her book and reflect on some of the ones you've been hearing about in the news. And we'll take your call to first line. Chris is in Omaha, Nebraska on Coast to Coast AM to get us started for open lines. Where are you going to take us, Chris?
Hey, Ian, how you doing? I had a quick ghost story for you.
Okay, this happened to you?
Yes, it happened to me. It happened about 3 years ago. I was taking the bus in Pasadena, California, and a gentleman comes up to me saying, hey, Chris, he said he remembered me, and I finally got to remember who he was. He was a buddy of mine's cousin. So we got to talking. He told me where he worked at. He had just gotten a car accident, and he was getting his car fixed. That's why he was on the bus. And he says, tell Giovanni, which was his cousin, if I run into him, tell him hi. He hasn't seen him for a while. Make a long story short, Giovanni, his cousin, stops by my house out of nowhere about a week later. And I tell him, hey, I seen your cousin. And he tells me, no, my cousin passed away about 2.5 months ago in a car accident. I said, in a car accident? No, he told me he was working for a boxing company. And yeah, he did work there, but he crashed his white Honda. He said, this is his white Honda. He was killed in the Honda.
Wow.
I said, no way. I mean, I was baffled by it. He started crying, got upset. Left my house crying, saying I was lying. I didn't see his cousin, and I'm baffled by it till this day. I mean,
so, well, Chris, in light of what we just heard in crypto news, it's important to point out the ghost at no point attempted to have sex with you, though.
No, at no point. Okay. Unfortunately,
not even a lap dance or anything on the bus. There was nothing at all inappropriate going on.
No, the ghost being a male, I'm kind of glad he didn't.
Okay,
just checking. If it was a female, I wouldn't have had a problem.
Just checking on that. All right, thank you, Chris.
Hey,
appreciate the I'm sorry about that. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Tom, St. Louis on Coast to Coast AM. Tom,
how you doing, Ian?
Hi, it's Open Lines. Where are you going to take us?
I would just like to make a comment about last night's program. I think you were a little bit rough on Mr. Quayle. I know he's a little bit out there with the Giants and all that stuff.
I wish we'd been talking about Giants.
You know, but that's kind of what Coast to Coast is about.
No, it's not. And this is, I'm going to stop you there for a second, because what we're about is a variety of things to talk about. And
okay,
we had scheduled something to talk about. And it was something that was very definite. We were talking about new survivalism. We had two or three pieces that we're going to work off of, which we thought were very interesting to catch his reflections on. But that just was, it just became something which I had said in advance, hey, let's not let it become this other thing. And I was told, oh, no, no, he's good with that. He's not going to do it. And then he just wasn't what he wanted to do.
So he kind of took it off in a tangent that you didn't want to go.
Well, that's not the show I wanted to do, and I'll just say that.
Okay.
I wasn't getting into the doomiest of gloomiest and the all of it being, that's just not where I live. Now, if somebody else wants to do that show on Coast to Coast, God bless them.
Right.
And I really enjoyed talking about Giants with Steve Quayle. And I think that there's a point where it's got to be a conversation. And we had a conversation in mind. I had a conversation I was prepared for. I spent several hours preparing for it, and then it just wasn't going to happen. So,
gotcha.
I mean, I don't know what more to say other than that. I went forward with it. I kind of bit my lip and I went to the phones way early, and I let everybody else take over that wanted to go down that road. And I stepped aside.
It sounded like it got a little bit tense there towards the end.
It did get tense.
Yeah.
But part of that getting tense part was, I just don't. I mean, when I went to the phones in the second hour, I wasn't going to say a thing. He brought it up a couple of times, and every time he brought it up, I just felt like, look, if you're going to say that, then I'll say my side of that. So I didn't, you know, when we went to the phones early, we just went to the phones early. And I kind of swallowed my disappointment as much as I could, and we went forward. And I tried to do the show that we had in front of us to do. But it's also hard when it just kept getting so far out there in terms of all of the things that I don't believe in. And
right.
I'm kind of in this position where I'm having to do a show with somebody who doesn't particularly care whether or not I'm there. And that's also kind of weird to me.
Okay. You know, I just want to tell you, I was a little disappointed with the show, Ian, but 99% of the time you do a great job and keep it up.
I don't blame you for being disappointed. Nobody was more disappointed than me. I thought, what else could I have done? Should I have bagged it early? He threatened to walk because he said he wasn't getting enough time in the first hour, and it was all him in the first hour, so I didn't know what more to do after that. And I don't know, I just thought, I didn't know what to do. So I've been kicking myself about it ever since and wish it hadn't happened, but there's not a whole lot I can do about it while it's happening except just kind of hand over the microphone to him. But that also has repercussions for me on my side of the microphone, where other people say, don't do that to a guest. So I don't know. It was tough.
It's you live and learn. And I think tonight's show is going to be great, and I'm looking forward to it.
Well, thank you. I look forward to it too. And again, this is what the show we're looking forward to. And I hope it goes that way as well. West of the Rockies, John is in Portland, Oregon, on Coast to Coast AM. John?
Oh, hi. How are you?
Hi. Where are you going to take us?
Well, I'm 72. My wife passed away 3.5 years ago after 36-year marriage.
I'm sorry.
I was, I'm getting by, but it's still pretty rough. I learned something accidentally. I've been a kind of a mainline Christian most of my life, and I read the Bible every day for 50 years for 30 minutes in the morning. And I ran into a body of research, and I just hope you'll let me explain it for 1 minute or so.
I'll get a minute for you. Go ahead.
About the middle of the 19th century, there was a body of archaeologists and historians and linguists who began to doubt the conventional explanations for the origin of both Judaism and Christianity. And they had to do a lot of research, and I ran into some, and I've done a lot of study of their books, and it turns out that the ruling class, the conclusions of their research is that the ruling class and the clerics down through the centuries, say for the last 3,000 years, have manipulated religion, created it by fraud and deception to get wealth and power and control over the people. And that the Bible itself, and this was stunning to me because I was a Bible student and a believer that the actual incidents reported in the Bible occurred. The Bible itself is largely a plagiarism and a forgery of ancient mythology, astrology, and ritual of Masonic lodges and other secret societies. There's nothing original in the people in the Bible, the patriarchs and prophets of the Old Testament, as well as the Jesus and the apostles and Paul in the New, were mythological characters inserted in place of the mythological deities and persons that were in the mythology going back thousands of years. So the Bible is not original, and Jesus never walked the earth. It was all a fraud to consolidate power under the control of the original church fathers and the Roman Empire.
Okay. I hope that brings you comfort.
Well,
I'm sorry.
Wait.
I'm sorry about your wife. No, I've heard all that stuff for years. So nothing shocking about that for me. We talk about things like that occasionally on Coast to Coast, and I hope you get a chance to listen to a show like that coming up in the future. It may not be quite as clear-cut as you think it is, but that's sort of the beauty to me of research, that those types of opinions are endlessly disputatious. And I, again, but I'm sorry about your wife. And let me get to all the wild card lines. I haven't touched the wild card lines. We'll get those coming up in just a minute for the rest of this half hour. Where are you going to take us on Coast to Coast AM? This is Ian Punnett. Looking forward to the last half hour here of Open Lines, and look forward to this Friday night's Open Lines, too, which we'll do in anticipation of George getting a well-deserved night off. Looking forward to next hour. I'm just looking forward to everything, and I think it's kind of my nature. Coming up next hour, we'll talk about polygamy. And although this dark side of this story dominates our sort of national psyche right now as we think about these kids and hoping that there aren't victims, but also trying to understand what our responsibility is if there are. We'll talk with Irene Spencer. She is a survivor of a fundamentalist polygamist group, not the same group that has been discussed in the news, but another one that had its own issues, too. And she'll talk about how she got out of the cult, not the same way, not by escaping, although in a way, looking back on it, she certainly feels like she did. And we'll talk about exactly how these other groups live, what she sees in this story that the rest of us, I can only guess at. We'll get to that coming up next hour on Coast to Coast AM. The rest of this hour, more of your open lines. And I don't know where it's going to go. Do you? Next on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. Getting into the last half hour here, let's go to Richard on the wildcard line on Coast to Coast AM. Richard, where are you going to take us?
Hey, Ian, how you doing?
I'm well, and you?
I'm doing pretty good. Well, I'm doing great. This body's going crazy with some sort of a virus that's going around here in the Northeast.
Anyway, what do you mean? What do you mean, some sort of like flu virus or something?
Well, it's the weirdest thing. I've had it for about a month now,
yes.
And I never in my life had anything like this. It keeps mutating from one form. You know,
sure.
It goes from a stomach thing to a respiratory thing. Then you think you're getting well, and that manifests, but it's all the same thing.
What do they give you? What do they give you for it?
I spoke to a friend of mine who's a doctor, and he said it's just something that lasts from 2 to 4 weeks with most people. He's seen a lot of it. He doesn't know exactly what it is, and it just kind of runs its course, and that's it, you know? I'm beginning to wonder whether a lot of these things you hear on Coast about the chemtrails and stuff are actually really true, or they're doing something... The elitists are doing something to trim us down, but that's why I called.
Do you have a metallic taste in your mouth?
No metallic taste at all.
All right, then that's one of those chemtrail things. So you may be okay on that.
Yeah, I hope so. At any rate, no, I wanted to call you because I thought you did a great job last night. In fact, well, as good as could be expected. But it bothered me. I tried to get through last night. You know, Stephen Quayle, he has been good in the past. I mean, I've heard a couple of his shows on Giants and things like that.
Yeah, I like that stuff.
And I guess Giants are moving very slow this month or something because he, you know, on those shows, he told about his extensive traveling and research and archaeology in all parts of the world. You know, like you could tell this was a 24/7 full-time occupation for him. At least that's what it sounded like. And then last night he comes on and all of a sudden – he's like the best economist in the world. You know, like all of a sudden he's branched out into economics. He knows exactly that the doom and gloom scenario is what we're headed for. And it bothered me a lot, not so much. I mean, he's entitled to his opinion if that's
sure.
the way he feels about it. But
right.
it was just that he wouldn't let you get a word in edgewise. It was only his way. He only wanted to hear that. Anything that was going against his way. When someone isn't sure of themselves, they get very defensive, and I just felt that a lot from him, and it bothered me.
Well, let's call, and thank you for the comment. Let's just say then we've heard from both sides. One that said wished I had let him talk more. Other side said wish you hadn't let him talk so much. And let's put it to bed. And I appreciate that comment, Richard. I'll just say we invited Steve because we know he has a perspective on this end of the world like scenario, survivalism, but we also had another show in mind. In fact, if you go to coasttocoastam.com, if you link on to the stories in the bottom of the screen, if you scroll down for it, you'll see that one of the stories we were talking about, that's the New York Times piece. And it was just so interesting to see different people thinking about survivalism at different levels. And I think there still is a really interesting show in that for the folks who are not coming at it from, well, they come at it from different political and social perspectives. And they don't come at it from a religious perspective. They're not thinking about the four horsemen of the apocalypse. They're not going down that road. And I think there's something, it's an interesting piece. Take a look at it anyway, and maybe we'll get back to that. And I'll say again, I really enjoyed the Steve Quayle shows we've done about giants. And he is entitled to his opinion on what that is. And I think it's a perfectly legitimate opinion. And I wish we'd had more of them, a variety of them. But, you know, let's let it go at that and move on. And thank you, everybody who listened and will be listening tonight when we talk with Irene Spencer coming up next hour. John is in Buffalo, New York on Coast to Coast AM. John, open lines. Where are you going to take us?
Hi, Ian. I got a good comment to make, but let's end the controversy with a draw. Pundit versus Quayle. Contact your local cable operator. Pay-per-view.
Fine.
Okay, that's that. But you were talking earlier, you're shoving a few little stories before the, you know.
Right,
before
a little crypto news, right?
Yeah, and you were talking about the genetically modified food and whatnot. Now, I've got something that I was going to call about, but it actually ties in to what you were talking about. And how the big shots, the big boys, and I hesitate to use the term elitists, they know well in advance what's going on. And I'll give you what I was going to talk about and why I think it ties into what you mentioned. Now, here in New York, for about 2 months, we've known that there is going to be a $1.25 tax on a cigarette, pack of cigarettes. $1.25. And for the past year, they have been giving away a pack, buy one, get one free. In other words, I can only interpret that as they want to keep the addicted addicted by basically giving out a free pack of cigarettes.
Who's they?
Well, the cigarette manufacturer, I suppose.
Okay. Just want to make sure.
But the day that the day that tax hits, you will not see that buy one, get one. That's just a personal prediction.
No, I think
now,
you're right.
I tied that into what you said because, you know, a year or two ago, all these people, all these groups, and I'll say religious groups, who may or may not be in power, they are in power. They're all against the modification of food, the cloning of animals. All of a sudden, world hunger strikes, and it didn't just strike. It's been going on for a long time. But now, you don't hear so much about the ethics regarding
I think there's a difference between the bioengineered foods in terms of it being a crop and it being a living animal. And I think
But I read more and more about they are cloning more animals, and I seriously believe that is for food consumption. That's just what I think. And in a democratic society, now this is kind of as an aside and offshoot of everything, you know, since the beginning of, I don't know, what was the first democratic society?
Let's just say
Rome. All right, we can go back to Greece, sure.
Rome was a republic.
Okay. It was? I thought it was. Anyways, any society that has a capitalist way, and I believe in the capitalist way if it's done correctly,
okay,
they have a shelf life of about between 200 and 300 years, starting with Greece. And I'm sorry, I was going to include Rome there. And then you got France and England, and now you, the United States. In other words, what happens is they eat each other up. We eat ourselves up. And you can judge a society by what they think entertainment is.
Well, just because we're going to get into another topic here, and I got some other people holding
sure.
on. Let me just be very clear, just so you know, we are, as a nation, a democratic republic. We are a republic in terms of the way in which we structure our representation. We are not a pure democracy where every person gets one vote.
Right. I think that's in name only, though.
Well, no. Well, hold on. The idea was by the founding fathers was to combine the best of Greece and the best of Rome. Mm-hmm. That's why we're an experiment. And the hope is that that's what will bring stability to this country that didn't exist under a pure republic or under a pure democracy. we can only cross our fingers and hope. France is off the table. Their experimentation with democracy early on was, that's just a total disaster. But we'll leave that alone for now. John is in Long Island on Coast to Coast AM. John?
Hello, Ian. How are you tonight?
Good. Open lines. Where are you going to take us?
I believe it was about 2 or 3 weeks ago. I don't know if it was Coast to Coast or not. There was supposed to be a strange UFO sighting over the White House or over Washington itself. I'm not sure. Did you know anything about that?
I read about that, yep. Okay, yeah, in fact, I read it on Crypto News, yeah.
Okay, so I don't know anything about it. Could you give me a little more in-depth about what happened and what was the final result? Would the government lie about this time or...
Well, the theory here was that there was a series of visual radar sightings, and the story can get a little murky. But the story was that over Washington there were groups of dots on radars which could not be seen by anybody else other than they kept appearing on the radar, except for the last group that they scrambled. And they did scramble fighter jets, according to this story. And when the fighter jet pilots approached the area, they did see lights in the sky. They did see some sort of craft, but then it peeled off. And according to one story, and I read it the way it was written, they had even fired on it or were trying to lock on it, I guess is really what it was, before they could actually fire, it took off.
Oh, so the government's not actually hiding this. They're actually admitting to this?
Well, when you say the government, I mean, I think that's as much as they released. I don't know what more there was to it, but that's what we reported, and that's what made it on the air.
Okay, thank you for taking my call in.
Not a problem. And if there's more on it and somebody wants to get that in quickly on open lines, we'll see what we can do. Let's get to Tony in Baltimore on Coast to Coast AM. Tony?
Yeah, wow, this is quite a pleasure. An event for me. I've been trying to call you for the longest time.
I'm glad you got through.
Well, hey, first thing I'd like to talk about was a little blurb I saw in the news about a month and a half ago, and I haven't seen anybody talk about it. The only reason I know about it is I'm a biologist by, you know, work. This company in Madison, Wisconsin came up with a way of taking carbohydrates, you know, the sugars from plants, not just corn, but from like sugar cane, you know, any kind of cellulose-based material, and actually breaking it down and making biogasoline directly out of the sugars. Go right from a carbohydrate, which is a sugar, straight to biogas, and like just, you know, no production of ethanol. Because, you know, so you don't even have to go through that step, which is just really a waste product to begin with. You only get like really like 30-40% recovery out of like your, you know, your bath of alcohol anyway. It's been buried. Nobody will talk about it.
Okay. I don't know why. I mean, sometimes no one will talk about it means that they haven't really found a spokesperson or they're not really pushing awareness of it. I'd be very interested in it.
And can I have your email number address? And then I got one more thing to tell you about.
Well, you can find it right there at coasttocoastam.com.
Okay. Hey, the other thing is about the, I just wanted to make a point about the seeds, the genetically modified seeds. The reason they're not good. There's a lot of, when you have a like what they call a transgenic seed, or genetically modified, they're usually trying to express a certain agent, protein, or whatever in the seed, and it's used to like get a particular trait to show out in whether it's like growth or whatever. And they really have no idea how this is, you know, that turned up inside the seed is going to affect the person. Some of these chemicals can cause like pituitary tumors. Some can cause breakdown of proteins in your body. Just because it's harmless in a seed doesn't mean it's going to be harmless in your body.
I understand that. I think we threw that question out earlier too, that there's a lot more research on that before people are going to get comfortable with it. But then again, like I said earlier, it depends on how hungry you are. And that's what some of these other countries are discovering with food costs being what they are. Maybe they're willing to start taking some risks in order to stave off food riots. We'll keep you updated on that. Tony, thanks for your thoughts. Sam in Michigan on Coast to Coast AM on polygamy. Sam?
Hey, Ian.
Hi, we've got Irene Spencer coming up next hour. We'll be talking about it with her. She used to be in a fundamentalist polygamous cult. Where are you going to take us?
Due process of law.
Okay.
Okay. John Adams, second president of the U.S., you have rights, he says, antecedent to all earthly governments, rights that cannot be repealed nor restrained by human laws, rights derived from the great legislator of the universe. Okay. Now comes Hale versus Hinkle, a U.S. Supreme Court case 1905, which since that time has been upheld by the U.S. Supreme Court 144 times and over 1,600 times by the federal and state courts. Here's what it says. The individual stands upon his constitutional rights as a citizen, entitled to carry on his private business in his own way. His power to contract is unlimited. He owes no duty to the state or to his neighbors to divulge his business or to open his doors to investigation, so far as it may tend to incriminate him. He owes no duty to the state since he receives nothing.
Sam, I'm going to ask you to cut to the chase on this. I'm sure you could read for an hour, but you're going to drive me mad.
I'm nearing the end. Here it comes.
I don't care. Just tell me, what's the upshot of this? What's the point?
Okay, the upshot is the people, the mothers, the parents of the children, in whatever you want to call that organization, they are acting according to their rights as delineated in Hale versus Hinkle. In the private matters, they owe nothing to the public. They have not trespassed upon anyone's public or private rights.
Sam, this is the beauty of an adversarial court system. And I know that their attorneys, there's 416 attorneys down there arguing for these children. I'm going to guess that at least one of them has heard of Hale versus Hinkle. I'm sure they'll make that argument. Let's see whether it works with the judge. And we'll finish this conversation on polygamy coming up after the top of the hour. Tim is in Florida on Coast to Coast AM. Tim?
How's it going, Ian?
Good. It's open lines. You look like you're going to be the last one, so make it good.
Okay. I wanted to tell you about where I work. I work in a heavy machine yard, Ring Power, Caterpillar. I'm a security guard. Work at night. I work on the weekends. Listen all the time. Great show. Our yard and one specific building is haunted. We have several things that happen all the time around here, constantly. Just last night, I had four ways on a piece of equipment turn on when there was nobody else here.
Were the keys in the ignition?
Well, the keys stay in the ignition, yes. But in this truck, it was like a service truck, so it wasn't. There was no keys in it.
Okay,
the four ways were all of a sudden on at 11 o'clock at night. Now I passed by the truck every 15 minutes. There was no lights on. All of a sudden, I had to go into the truck and physically turn them off. All kinds of strange noises, and the cleaning crew that cleans that building have a name for the ghost.
And that is?
His name's Jim. That's what they call him, I guess.
Jim?
But, yeah.
I was expecting something kind of spookier, not just Jim.
Yeah, me too. But that's what they said.
They're like Phantom Jim or Headless Jim or Bloody Jim or anything like that? No, just
I don't
Jim.
Think they've ever seen him. He doesn't. He makes a lot of noise, and I guess he moves things. I get a creepy feeling when I go in there. I stay out of the building.
How about Bashful Jim? How about something? You need a modifier on Jim. That's very interesting,
noisy,
Tim.
Noisy Jim.
There you go. Thank you, though. I appreciate that. And would you give us a call back sometime? Give us a shout. We're doing open lines again. And give us an update on Jim, the ghost. And polygamy coming up next, then. Its legality isn't really the issue. We're not really talking about that part, although we will get into I guess we could call it, is there a constitutional right to abuse? I don't think so, but we'll pick it up here coming up next with Irene Spencer, who's been inside one of these fundamentalist polygamous cults, next on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett.